Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, and thank you, Isaiah, as you do each and every time we come to these airways introducing this show for your granddaddy. I really appreciate that. I love you so much. Hey, people, we want to thank the 41,000-plus listeners who have tuned in to a show here on Homebase Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio, truly making this listener-supported radio, and we really thank you for your comments and the text messages and all of the wonderful things that people do, letting us know that they really enjoy the content that we put on this show. It really makes us feel good. It makes us feel proud to know that we are of some value and sharing some information that people feel is of value to them. Hey, you know, we're wrapping up this week on the series that we've been doing for the last 2 weeks, and this makes week number three, as we're reviewing the works of the late, great George Speer, who transitioned and became an ancestor on December 10th, 2010, a week after doing a tremendous interview right here on Homebase Business 101 with us around the whole issue of economic development and the fourth principle of Kwanzaa Ujamaa and how to make it practical in the African-American community. Well, this week we're going to be going into the book that George wrote called Getting Black Folks to Sell. Getting Black Folks to Sell. Very interesting book, very dynamic book, and has a lot of good information in this book. And again, you know, there's no way we'll get through the whole book in the course of this week, but we will highlight different areas of the book and cover aspects of the book and, you know, give you some information from the book. I like his book very much. I like all of his books. I really like this one. I look at the cover. It's Getting Black Folks to Sell. And on the cover, there's a picture and two captions. There's a picture of an African-American woman who's sold a gentleman a car. He's sitting in the car. There's a little caption that says in her mind, wow, I made more from this one sale than I used to make in a month. And then the gentleman sitting in the car captions saying what's going on in his mind. And he says, it sure feels good to be able to buy from our people for a change. Very powerful picture. And, you know, they say, you know, picture's worth a thousand words. Yes, this is a very powerful picture. The person said in their mind, they made more from this one sale than they made in 1 month on the JOB. That's powerful. Again, that's the power of sales. He also, from the customer point of view, customer says, man, it sure really feels good to be able to buy something from our own people for a change. And that's a good feeling, too. You know, we want that. On the back cover of the book, there's some excerpts that, you know, we're going to take a look at, and then we're going to get into the first part of the book today. Some of the excerpts from the book, Getting Black Folks to Sell. So the first reason why black people need to learn a new skill called selling is because many of their old skills are of no economic use anymore. Black labor is quickly becoming obsolete. A 364-year tradition of laboring for white folks is coming to a halt, not because all white folks do not like blacks, but because they do not need our labor. Very powerful statement, and there's a book written by a guy by the name of Sidney Wilhelm who said, who needs the Negro? You know, we don't go by that term no more, but basically, you know, again, it's just talking about the shift in the economy. And the shift in the economy is that, you know, labor is not needed the way it was needed at one time before. And so if we're still trying to market ourselves as a labor force, then that's why we hurt. That's what we got. Unemployment and the things that are going on in our communities is because we're trying to fit a skill into an economy that has changed and it's no longer labor intensive. Most labor jobs and positions have been shipped overseas. And it's like author Robert Kiyosaki says that if you want one of those quote-unquote good middle-class labor jobs that people used to have, you need to move to India or China because that's where they're at. So when we apply that to the African-American community, if all we have is labor skills, then it's no wonder we have such a high unemployment rate and such a high underemployment rate. Here's another excerpt from the book. George says, during my lectures around the country, I asked my audience to answer a question. I asked them to raise their hands if they know a black person with a college degree who is either unemployed or underemployed. At least one-third of the people's hands go up. College success is no assurance of personal or financial success. It's not even assurance of employment. Look at the number of people with college degrees that they say that are unemployed or working as cashiers. And paid all of that money to go to college to do what? See, it's always been my saying, go to school, get a good education so you can learn how to run a business, because there's no guarantee that you're getting a job. But I can guarantee you that you can build yourself a business. Might take a little hard work, but you can be guaranteed that. There's no guarantee for a job. So, you know, we push this whole thing to our young people. You got to go to college. I'm not knocking a college education. But for what purpose? If you're going to spend your whole time going to college and hope and pray and look for a job working for somebody else, don't be disappointed when it doesn't happen. Because for the majority of people, nowadays, college is no assurance of employment. It's another quote that George has in here, and at this time, you know, this figure was related to then. This figure is probably three times the amount now. Again, this book was written early 90s. Let's see here. Hold on a second. Yeah. Anyway, at that time, he said the $200 billion income that is often referred to in the black community is never examined within its proper context. $200 billion is only 7.6% of the nation's income. We're 12% of its population. Thus, we need to make at least 50% more to achieve economic equality. That comes to a sum of over $100 billion more than what we currently receive. Since I don't see us making up the difference working more minimum wage jobs. So in other words, in order to achieve economic parity in the African-American community in relationship to the other communities, they all make up a part of this massive country called America. And we got to look at some other ways to earn income besides jobs. He goes on another excerpt. Selling is an important skill for the black community to learn because it allows us to respond to being screened out of the natural means of getting an income or the job. And that is so true. You know, there's buying and selling going on all day, every day. There's a lot of selling going on right now as we get ready for tomorrow for those that celebrate Christmas. There's a lot of buying and selling going on today. People getting last minute gifts and other things. And hey, we're going to give you a solution for how to participate in that by the time we get to the end of the show today, and how you can earn some money through all this buying and selling that's going on. Try to put yourself in the equation so you can increase your net value and put some more dollars in your pocket to help you towards whatever it is that you're working on. Next, she goes on, it's important to understand that the negative images we have of salespersons may be based more on how the white community sells to black people and not necessarily how the white community sells to its own people. So again, you know, the racism that has plagued this country, and because of it and because of some negative experiences that we as African Americans have had with white salespeople, is that we equate all salespeople are bad. And no, sales is an honorable profession. It's just that if you've been burnt before by certain people, then you have a negative view of stuff, and so you don't want to touch sales at all. And that's you know, you shouldn't do that. It's, you know, because that's just not healthy. But too often, because we've had a negative experience with a salesperson of another ethnic group, then we just think that sales is bad and all salespeople are like that. No, it doesn't have to be that way. We can be that honorable and decent salesperson that is so much needed in our community. Next, the interesting thing about the sales field is that while it requires self-confidence to be successful, it also means which one uses to build self-confidence. Selling develops the person who is doing the selling. Yes, you will get better. You will get better because if you're going to be successful, you're going to do some self-development, which is going to increase your self-confidence and allow you to move forward. And let's look into the book, okay? The first part, acknowledgments. George makes some acknowledgments in terms of this book. He says this book represents a rather significant breakthrough for me in a couple ways. It was in the writing of this book that I was forced to finally deal with computers, computer programs, and computer talk. Praises are due to the entire staff of Computer Craft in Northfield, New Jersey. I'm particularly grateful to Sherry Barks, the owner, and Melanie Cooney for their efforts in going through the manuscript until this final product was produced. The second breakthrough came in the person of Deborah Young of the Deborah Group in Stamford, Connecticut. Ms. Young is the first real editor that I've ever worked with. It was amazing for me to watch her go through my material, change it, and admit that she was right about the 90% of the time. Thank you, Deborah, for hundreds of pages and thousands of corrections. Thanks also goes out to my brother, Lynn Tower, who gave of his valuable time to help make his brother's book more understandable to the general public. And doing the research for this book, dozens of books and articles were consulted. But in all honesty, I think two books were more enlightening than any of the rest put together. If you're serious about learning to sell, read Secrets of Closing the Sale by Zig Ziglar, and we know that Zig Ziglar recently transitioned, very powerful person, and Unlimited Power by Tony Robbins. Both books are available now in paperback at major bookstores. Finally, I wish to thank Michelle Glatko on Bookmark Press and the staff there for always coming through with final physical products on time all the time. Those are acknowledgments that he made, and then he dedicated this book, and it's interesting people that he dedicated this book to. You know, we need to think about them because we don't talk about salespeople that often, especially when we have what's called Black History Month. You know, we mention certain people, but we don't really go into the business community or salespeople. This volume is dedicated to several Black Americans who have had a tremendous impact involving African Americans in the sales force. To the late Madam C.J. Walker of Indianapolis, Indiana, Black History records her as the first Black American to earn $1 million. She did it by building a sales organization in the early 1900s that sold hair care products to Black women. Madam, we talk about, when people say, during Black History Month. Madam C.J. Walker, first black millionaire. But we don't talk about how she earned her money. She didn't make $1 million working for white folks. She wasn't, you know, one of these big-time corporations, you know, and was accepted and had a big corporate job and made millions of dollars. She made it by having a sales force. Wow. Wow, wow. To Mr. S.B. Fuller, Chicago, Illinois, y'all have heard of the Fuller Brush Man. Thank you for turning out generations of black salespeople. Your legacy will continue for generations to come. You know, we think about that. Here's the man in Chicago who, S.B. Fuller, who was born, you know, poor. And I remember reading a book called Success Through Positive Mental Attitude, where his driving force was in S.B.'s life growing up. His mother told him, he said, S.B., I don't never want you to hear you say we're poor because of God. She said, we're poor because your father has not chosen to choose a path which that can make us wealthy. We're not poor because of God. That was the driving force in his life that pushed him and pushed him and pushed him to ultimately create his dream of what he did and his views and values, that you can make it if you really want. You can make it if you try. So it's interesting that George again talks about S.B. Fuller. Next to George and Ruth Hazley of Greensboro, North Carolina. You two have probably involved more black people in the selling process than any other two people in the history of the United States, maybe the world. Thank you for your enthusiasm, your dedication, and your example. Now, if you don't know who they are, they were big Amway distributors. They were first African Americans Amway to make over $1 million. And, you know, it's very interesting when we look at them and the model that they had, the home presentation. Something, again, that company that I'm involved in that we specialize in, we call it a travel party, but it stems from the same thing, the home presentation. Amway made millions and millions, billions on a home presentation. George and Ruth Hazley were the two African-American couple that were the first to earn over $1 million in the Amway distribution network. Went on to buy them a chain of Holiday Inns and invested also in some other businesses. But it started from them with that easel. For those of you that are familiar with how Amway used to be, you go to somebody's house, the person pull out the easel, and boom, and give you the Amway plan. You know, so George again dedicates the book to them. Next to Ms. Rule Cohn of Atlanta, Georgia, thousands of black women have profited from your example. Thank you for your consistency, for your caring, and your sharing. I need to research who Ms. Rule Cohn is. I do not know what aspect of sales she was in, but I will have an answer for you for that tomorrow. He said, and finally, to Mr. Dick Gregory of the state of Massachusetts, as the first black celebrity to encourage our people in the area of sales, you have impacted tens of thousands of black folks. People who formerly looked down their noses at selling have now looked up and seen the light. Thank you for this major contribution. Yes, Dick Gregory got people into selling the Bohemian Diet. I remember when that first came out, you know Dick Gregory's a vegetarian and fasts a lot. I've had a chance to meet him on several occasions, had a chance to spend some quality time with him on several occasions. And, yes, he had a thing called a Bohemian Diet at one point in time, and, you know, and people selling that, and as George says, one of the first celebrities that really got people into selling, and, you know, so he dedicated this book to them. Very powerful, very, very powerful. Let's look at how he opens the book up in terms of his introduction here. George says, hey, the book you hold in your hands right now is probably the only significant attempt in this country to discuss in some detail the art of selling within the context of the African-American experience. If this is so, then it could very well be that this book is the first of its kind in America, period. Usually a person is very proud of being the first at any invention. I wish I could feel such pride, but I do not. I really feel this topic should have been addressed long before now. What I've done in this book is not reveal a discovery or breakthrough, but simply report plain facts that any truly observant Black American could have done just as easily. Because the ideas discussed in this book are so obvious and so significant in Black folks' survival in America, it scares me that no one has seen fit to report them. As a people, we face specific dangers and opportunities. We must learn to respond to each of them in a proper way. This is my opinion. It's what leaders are supposed to do, and it frustrates me when I don't see it being done. I feel a sense of shame that so many people in our community carry the title, officially or unofficially, of leader. Excuse me. When in fact, that they don't know any more about what's going on than the next person. This is both shameful and scary. The Black media is partly to blame, too. Out of the 28 million equally important Black Americans, they insist on giving us detailed accounts of the lives of about 100. We are notified weekly of the ways of actors, actresses, athletes, and singers died and exercised. How they diet and exercise, how they treat their spouses and children, and generally play out their private roles as if this information would save Black America. If the lack of information sharing is so prevalent among the leadership class, is there any wonder why the mass of our people are so confused? Can you see why they turned off and tuned out? So what he says again, you know, we don't get information about everyday people knowing everyday things to improve their lives that can be passed on to other people. It's only the rich and the famous, the athletes. That's what we call the rich and the famous anyway. See, how many people in our community knew about a George or a Ruth Haseley, and that you can make millions of dollars in Amway? That people was turned off. Not everybody, though. Enough people did get involved and, you know, pushed and went forward. But a lot of us was, like, turned off. I ain't selling none. Why? Because, again, you know, we was given that negative connotation of sales, and it was like you had a better chance of making your money if you could sing, dance, entertain, or play a ball game. That's what we were told. And it's even worse nowadays as our young people are coming up, especially African-American males. The image of making a lot of money is either be a rap star, a basketball player, and if you don't make it in those two, a drug dealer. Ain't that amazing? Jawanda, could you forget a workshop? She said that was the three top goals that young African-American males pick: rap, basketball, or singing dope. That's how you make money in our community. Sad, sad, sad. Yet there's buying and selling going on every day, and we're usually just on the buying end. We need to get in on the selling end. So this book is very, very important. And George talks about, he says, it's time to reprogram. This book is a tool to change your ways of thinking. If you feel very secure and comfortable, maybe you shouldn't. And if you feel lost, helpless, out of control of your life, maybe you don't have to feel that way either. Because in this volume, I will talk about selling and survival, because more and more of our people will make it based on their decision to sell or not. This volume is also about selling and prosperity, because these two concepts are intimately linked. So whether you are looking to just get by and keep your head above water or whether you're looking for financial independence, this book will interest you. Very, very powerful statement. He has been Selling and Prosperity. Selling and Prosperity. There's dignity in being involved in sales, and it can lead to prosperity. And another key word he used, financial independence. Financial independence. So he says, hey, it's time to reprogram. Time to reprogram. We need to reprogram. Essentially, the task at hand is to reprogram your thinking so that you might find the value in the liberation in selling. If you have not seen it already, this effort to give you a positive view of sales is likely to clash with a lifetime of negative ideas, feelings, and even experiences that you most likely have had regarding selling. This is what I meant by reprogramming. I will show you how. If you study the image and things the black community complains about, many of our complaints can be addressed by more active involvement in the success of selling. I will show you how salaries will never allow black America to have its fair share of the economic pie, but how sales success could very well help us meet that goal. I hope to clear up common myths about selling and how the relationship of selling to many other important aspects of our lives. And in short, I want to convert your doubts about selling into an interest and enthusiasm for selling. This is my goal. That's a powerful goal he has in this book. Powerful, powerful goal to get us to understand that salaries will not change and help us get our share of the economic pie in America. And let's go beyond America, because with the internet now, we're in a global age. A global age. I remember back in the early 90s, my cousin, who's my attorney, shared with me and following. He says, cuz, there's going to come a time, he says, man, with a laptop and a modem and access to the internet, he says, you can make money anywhere from where you at in the world. He says the playing field is changing. He said that we as African Americans need to learn how to adapt to this new playing field and get in the game. It's also interesting that one of the founders of our company, YTD, the late Gate, Kim Sorensen, always had a phrase and a saying telling us of YTD, those of us that fall, get in the game, get in the game. As I wrap up today's show, and we'll be back again tomorrow, but more from Getting Black Folks to Sell by George Sabir, as I promised you at the beginning of the show, we'll close out with giving you a chance to participate in an opportunity that can allow you to apply the skills of selling. And as George says, take advantage and move into prosperity mindset that can help you work towards financial independence. You have an opportunity today to get involved in a $9 trillion global business via the internet. And right now is a great time to get involved. I don't know if you've noticed the prices, online shopping and shopping in the stores. We went into, today is Monday, Friday just passed, we went into like another Black Friday mode. Prices are being slashed by retailers. Through our travel and e-commerce website, e-commerce with access to over 800 stores that you already shop at and that friends of yours already shop at, you can participate in this business and allow people to get a free affiliate account off of your site and shop and get paid. Those of you that's listening to the sound of my voice today, you want to take a look at one of those sites and what they look like, go to www.fta-vacations.com/MU Group. MU Group. And you have a chance to look at the Movers Unlimited Group site. If you want to know how you can own one of these and get tax breaks, because if you do it before we go into January 1, and you've heard me on this show talk a lot about home-based business tax breaks, you could end up with anywhere from an extra $1,000 to possibly $8,000 back on your income taxes for 2013 by making a decision to become a home-based business owner today and learn this field of selling and prosperity. Hey, if you're interested, send us a text to 252-406-0774. That's 252-406-0774. Don't delay. Send us that text today. Hey, this has been Bobby Jahi here on Home-Based Business 101, bringing you the good news about selling and prosperity. God willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be back at you again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. as we continue to go through George Sapir's book, Getting Black Folks to Sell. We thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this show, hey, share it with some other ones. Let them know about the good news and the monies that you can be made. And think about as you're going into 2013, how to position yourself for financial independence. Take care. God bless. Look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.